Everything that is hanging over your life, over your heart, over your spirit is subject to the name of Jesus. And there is freedom in the name of Jesus. There is freedom in the name of Jesus. And if you come here today with a sense of just needing breakthrough in circumstance, you've got stuff hanging on over your life, you've come on the right day. Believe that you will leave differently than what you have arrived here at church. Julie has had just serious pain in her knee. She just somehow, something just got affected as a result of the hot air balloon accident she had a year and a half ago. And she come to church today with crutches and she just really senses God's touch on her body.
Friday night, had an awesome house full of beautiful people. But as the night went on, I couldn't walk. By 10 o'clock on Friday night, I could not walk. I could not bend my knee. I could not put any weight on it, not even with crutches. And all that night, I was just crying. I had nowhere to put my leg for relief. Yesterday, I could not walk at all. At all. I prayed, Lord, I want to go to church. I want to go to church, Lord. I want to go to church. I want to go to church, Lord. And this morning I got up and I could use crutches. I could use crutches this morning, and just during the worship, I felt my knee clicking and just hot clicking. And I just want to praise God. I just want to praise God because we knew how serious this was. But I want to praise God. Praise God this morning. And if you have something in your life, just trust God. This is the season. This is the season in Jesus' name. And we praise God. So if you're not sure if God does stuff, look at me for the next weeks. Look at me. Actually, no, don't actually. Don't look at me. But I just want to praise God. I can't tell you enough. Praise God.
Thank you. So you may be seated. And it was just so good. We've got our guest speakers here today, Pastor Andrew and Megan with us. And she was just laying hands on Pastor Julie's knee while we're in worship, just speaking and declaring just God's healing power over her during the worship time. And just believe God, no matter what your circumstances. You know, this morning I was reading Psalm 4, and this was in the Passion. And the last verse of the chapter said this, "Now because of you," this is verse 8, "Now because of you, Lord, I will lie down in peace and sleep comes at once. For no matter what happens, I will live unafraid." Who likes that? No matter what happens, I will live unafraid. And I was just chatting with Pastor Andrew just about some of the things he has in his heart to be sharing with us today. And we just know that God is just going to be bringing just a real sense of relief from release from fear and things that have just been hanging over your life. And we're just so delighted to have you both with us. So you came to a service here last year, and just a brief introduction just to say hello. And we're just so glad to have you with us here today. And they've just been doing a phenomenal work both here in our own nation and abroad. They've been, you know, engaging in some of the, you know, really large churches around the nation. And one of the things that just really speaks volumes is when we see stuff like the work you're doing in Cambodia, working with just a whole community of kids that are in very needy situations. I think there's 100 children there that they are involved in supporting with the work they are doing. And when I see people involved in missions, that speaks authenticity to me. You're not doing it because of the crowds or because of the accolades we get in the Western world. It's because there's an authenticity of heart before God. And we just love you both. We're just so glad to have you with us today. They lead a ministry called Freedom Revolution. I love that name. It's exciting. It's a great name. And let's just give an incredibly warm welcome as Pastor Andrew comes to share with us today. God bless you, Andrew. Thank you.
Well, so good to be with you this morning. I'm going to ask if you're able to stand to your feet for just a moment. There is no doubt that God's presence is here. He's ready to speak to you. You know, you have to choose, you have to position yourself to receive from Him. You could have stayed home today. I know that it was a cold, miserable day, but you chose to be in the house of God today. You could have been anywhere this morning, but you chose to be in this place, and I don't believe that that's an accident. I believe that God has you here for a reason, and so I've come expectant. You know, I drove all the way from Bundoora to be here this morning. So I reckon I probably win the prize for travelling the longest distance to get to church this morning. Anybody take more than an hour to get here today? Very good, Megan. We win the prize. Special McDonald drive-through lunch on the way home. But I tell you, I just get the sense that God is going to do something good this morning. If you're ready to receive from His Word, I just know, I can sense in the worship time that you're hungry, you're ready. So why don't you just turn to the person next to you, maybe you came late or maybe they did, and just look them in the eye and say, you are the best looking person I've sat next to all week. Oh, that is true. The best looking person. All right. Wow, we might have started some romances here this morning. I'm not sure. All right. If you're married, I trust that's your husband, your wife. All right. Here's what we're going to do. Before we come to the Word of God this morning, we're going to stir up our faith. We're going to believe that God is going to speak to every single one of us, no matter where we're at, no matter what we're going through. There's power in our declaration. And so I just want you to stir up your faith. I want you to repeat after me real loud this morning. Say, there is no problem. Oh, you can do that better than that. Say, there is no problem He cannot solve. There is no bondage He cannot break. There is no need He cannot meet. There is nothing, nothing, nothing too hard for my God. If you believe that, give Him a clap of praise. Give the person next to you a high five. Grab your seat this morning. Let me tell you a little bit about us before we come to the Word of God this morning. As Pastor Graham's already said, Megan and I have been privileged to minister in a number of different places, both here and around the world. We've been married for 24 years. We've been together for 31 years. Wow, that's an achievement in itself. I've been in full-time ministry now for just over 20 years, been preaching for 30 years. My grandfather taught me to preach. I'd go to these little churches. There'd be six people in there, and most of that was our family come to cheer me on, but there you go. We planted and led a couple of churches in this city, and now we have the privilege of ministering around the world. As Pastor Graham was saying, Megan and I are blessed to have 100 children. I want to show you a photo of our 100 children. I think we've got that on the screens, or the guys, the amazing tech people, will put it up in just a moment. There they are. There's our 100 kids over there in Phnom Penh in Cambodia. The white-skinned ones are not our children, but these ones are our spiritual children. Yeah, yeah, that's right. So this is Freedom Center One in Phnom Penh, Cambodia. The 100 street kids living on the street. Some of them are orphans, some of them are not. But we went to the neediest part of the outskirts of that city in the slums there. We have 100 students. We have 7 full-time young Khmer staff. And these incredible kids never have heard the name of Jesus coming to our center when they're 4 and 5 years old. Now every single one of them has come to faith. Many of them have led their parents to the Lord. 80% of them are in church every Sunday. We've started small groups in the slums for their parents that maybe can't get to church. But I'm telling you, these are the leaders of Cambodia's future. No doubt about it. God is good. Amen. He's doing good things around the world. And so, you know, as Pastor Graham was saying, this was a missional thing that we started in our second church that we planted. And then God called us into this ministry where we travel around, and we were praying about it. And one day, and God just spoke to both of our hearts at the same time to say, whatever you do, you keep that ministry. And we're like, well, all right, Lord, we're believing you by faith for everything that we need, so we're going to keep this as well. And so by faith, we've just seen God's faithfulness in being able to support that. Those kids are educated there 5 days a week. We put them in a local primary school as well. And so, of course, they go to the top of their school. And it is just a blessing to be involved in making a difference in other people's lives. Man, we are so fortunate in this country, aren't we? Aren't we blessed to live here? We are. So you can take the photo off of those guys, or they'll be looking at all those incredible kids all service. But we do travel, and we get to speak in a lot of different countries. And one of the things that I have noticed as we've traveled around, especially in the United States, is how many phrases that Aussies use that most people out there have no understanding of whatsoever. I don't know if you've experienced this, but I remember one time we were with some pastors in Texas. It was really, really hot. We were at a convention, and we were downstairs in the lobby. They're all pastors of very large churches, and I mentioned to them that Megan and I were going to go back up into our hotel room to put our thongs on. And the conversation just stopped. And these guys all suited up, kind of looked at me very strange. And I'm just thinking, what on earth have I just said? And I suddenly realized with these horrified looks I was getting that in the United States, thongs are something very different than what we put on our feet, right? In the United States, they talk about flip-flops. A thong is like a, you know, G-string bikini, right? So we were going upstairs to put our thongs on. So I had to backtrack and apologize. Look, I'm sorry. It's just something that Aussies say, we talk about. I'm going to put my thongs on, right? We say a lot of strange things. We put our petrol in our cars, but we go to the servo. Most people never heard of the servo. We put our drinks in an esky. We call someone who's a loudmouth, we say, well, that person's a bit of a yobbo. You try that with an American, they say, a yobbo? That they got no idea what that is. We eat our burgers here at Macca's. Well, no one's ever heard of Macca's overseas. That's only an Australian thing. And we call somebody who is wuss. We say, well, they're someone who's weak. We call them a wuss. Well, no one knows what that means overseas. We got all kinds of crazy things that we say in Australia. But one of the most common things that all of us use in Australia is we say, oh, no worries. Isn't that right? You hear Australians say that all the time. Oh, no worries. No worries at all, mate. Oh, no worries. I live in an area where there's a bunch of people around me that work in different trades. And I tell you, I could go out of my house, out my front door, and all around me I've got these blokes, and we start talking, they'll be like, oh, yeah, no worries, mate. No worries. Oh, no worries at all. No worries. And so there's this perception overseas that Australians are the most relaxed and easygoing and stress-free kind of people on the planet. And yet, the studies consistently show that in Australia, we are no less anxious and worried and stressed than anybody else. And so this morning, I want to show you from the Word of God how you can get free from worry. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. I'm glad that you came to church today because we're going to see from the Word of God how to get free from worry. How many of you know that worry isn't good for you? Can I see your hand this morning and say, some of you not sure? You will be sure by the end of this message. Listen, it's not good for you. It only adds to your stress. It doesn't help you in any meaningful way. But how many of you would also agree that sometimes it's just really, really hard not to worry? Come on, can we be honest? We're in church this morning. I know you're nodding, but could you put up your hand? Could you say, yeah, I know. Sometimes it's just really hard not to worry. But we're going to talk about that today. And friend, I just believe that if you will allow God's word to speak to you, if you let him speak to you this morning, if you would receive this word with a believing heart, I'm telling you, just as Pastor Graham said earlier, you will leave here today differently. You will leave here in a different way than the way that you came in this morning. Anybody like the sound of that, right? I didn't come just for some information this morning. I came for some revelation. We believe where two or three are gathered together, he promises to be right in our midst. We've already seen his wonderful healing work take place in this service. So I'm going to believe today that as I receive this word, I'm going to go out of here changed. Amen? You know, the word worry comes from an old German word, which means to choke or to strangle. That's what the word worry actually means. And I reckon that's pretty accurate because when you're getting worked up and you really worry about something, it's like all of the joy and the life and the fun gets squeezed out of you. And so today, I thought I would show you God's way of getting free from the stranglehold of worry. That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to look at how to get free from the stranglehold of worry. Because the reality is, friends, there are a lot of things that you could be worrying about today. They really are. I mean, house prices are just in an interesting place right now. The market is doing strange things. The cost of living is going through the roof. If you've got kids, there's the constant worry of, where are they? What are they doing? Am I keeping them safe? There's the threat, you know, go on a plane somewhere and I'm worried about terrorist attacks. And then there's the constant worry that you might drop your phone in the toilet. Anybody ever done? They tell me the stats on that are like 80, 90%. Who's taking their phone to the toilet anyway? Don't put your hand up this morning, but I know someone really well who put the phone in the toilet and managed to fish it out so quickly that they prayed over it and then revived it back to life. I might even sleep with that person tonight, so we'll just see how we go. But there's a lot of things that you could be worried about. A lot of things. And some of you here this morning, I have no doubt at all, you are expert worriers. You're an expert worrier. And that's because you get worried when you don't have something to worry about. I know people like this. And so as someone who's been a worrier, someone who grew up just worrying about stuff, but has gotten some freedom in this area and enjoying a worry-free life, I want to show you today God's way are being set free from the stranglehold of worry. Anybody want to learn that this morning? All right. If you want to stop the worry, you've got to settle some things in your heart today. You've got to just draw a line and decide, that's it. I'm not crossing that line anymore. You've got to decide this morning, worry is not my friend. Worry is not good for me. A life filled with worry is not what God wants for me. I don't have to live my life under the cloud of worry. We just have to decide that this morning. We just decide that if we want to be free from worry, we have to decide worry is not our friend. Worry, anxiety, all those kind of things, fear, they're not our friend. You know, I've just recently written a book called Fearless, which is about living courageously in an anxious world. And unfortunately, the printers in Indonesia haven't quite got it here, or I'd bring it this morning and help you with it. But there are so many people that are living under circumstances where they've allowed anxiety and fear to capture their heart. I'm saying, if you want to be free from worry, you have to realize worry is not your friend. Worry is, in fact, a deadly, deadly enemy. And I say that because when we look into the Word of God, we discover that worry is one of the primary tools that the enemy uses to steal our faith, to keep us in lack, and to keep us relying on ourselves rather than relying on God. I want to show that to you this morning in Romans chapter 14 and 23, and I'll put some passages on the screen. But in Romans 14 verse 23, it says, "For whatever is not from faith is sin." So let me ask you this morning, is worry, fear, being anxious, are those things the result of you being in faith? No. Well, if they're not, according to that passage, that's sin. That's not the way that God wants us to live. Worry is actually putting your faith in yourself. It's putting your faith in your own ability. It's putting your faith in the lies of the enemy rather than putting your faith and your trust in God. See, when you worry, you're like, I'm just expecting the worst. I just know that it's going to turn out bad. I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to get there. What if this happens? And what if that happens? And what if... So what is worry? Well, if you want a definition this morning and you're taking notes or you just want to remember this, worry is the sin of distrusting the power and the promises of God. That's what worry is. You say, what is worry? Worry is a sin, according to the Bible, and it's the sin of distrusting the power and the promises of God. That's what worry actually is. How do I know it's a sin? Well, because 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." He's not given us a spirit of fear or anxiety or dread or worry. No, no. But he's given us a spirit of power, the Bible says, and love and a sound mind. See, that's saying that spirit of fear and worry doesn't come from God. If it doesn't come from God, we know where it's coming from, right? It's coming from our spiritual enemy. So if we want to be free from worry in our lives, we just have to accept today how deadly worry is, how dangerous it is, that worry is not what God wants for us. It's one of the primary tools that the enemy uses to keep us ineffective and lacking in faith and confused and going round in circles and relying on ourselves rather than trusting in God. So what did Jesus say about worry? Well, as Charmaine mentioned earlier, he said a lot about worry. In fact, we don't have time this morning to go through all that Jesus said about worry. But Jesus spoke about worry a lot because he knew that worry would squeeze the faith out of your life. When the worry comes in, the faith goes out. That's what worry does. And so Jesus spoke about it a lot. And that's why in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, he said, "Don't worry about your life. What you'll eat or drink, about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes?" Now, when Jesus said, "Don't worry about your life," that word "life" there means every part of your life. He's talking about your thought life. He's talking about your physical life, your material life, your emotional life, and your spiritual life. Friend, when Jesus said, "Don't worry about your life," he was talking about your life today, your life tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, and into eternity. And he said, "Do not worry." Why not? Why not, Jesus? Well, because, he goes on to say, because your heavenly Father loves you. Because your heavenly Father loves you. And yet, we can read that. And yet so many of us, instead of taking Jesus at his word, we ignore that and we lie awake at night and we play what I call the what if game. You know about the what if game, right? If you've been a worrier, you know about the what if game. That's where we lie unable to sleep and we say, "Well, what if this happens? And what if that happens?" And we go over and over these different scenarios in our mind. What if I can't do that? And what if they ask me to do this and I fail? And what if that happens and this happens and it leads to this? That's the what if game. Many of us are or have been experts at the what if game. But do you know what happens if you keep playing that game? If you lie awake at night and start playing the what if game, you get to that place where you are unable to sleep, you're unable to rest, your stomach starts to get unsettled, your blood pressure begins to rise, and then you know what it's like. The next day, you're dragging yourself to work or to deal with the kids, you've got trouble concentrating, you're making bad decisions. Now, that's bad enough, but if you keep playing that what-if game, when you're on your own, eventually you will find yourself battling depressive thoughts. You will find yourself with all kinds of health issues, taking anxiety medication, all because you've allowed worry to get a grip on your mind. This sort of thing happens to millions and millions of people, and they don't realize that the cause of that is those times where they start playing that game. Well, what if this happens? And what if that happens? And what if I can't do this? And what? So let's agree today. Could we just agree? Worry is not your friend. Worry is not good for you. Worry is not what God wants for you. There is nothing in worry that's going to be helpful to you. So how do we get free of this thing? I mean, it's deadly. I want to give you three practical steps this morning, three action steps. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write them down. If you don't take notes, I'll assume you've got a photographic memory and you'll just remember all these things 6 months from now when you're going through something. So you might say, "Well, Andrew, I don't have any issues right now." I mean, that could be a miracle in itself, but I don't have any issues at all. I've got nothing at all to worry about. You may just need this message next week. Okay, so even if you're not taking notes, just get it in your brain. Three steps, I want you to remember them. If we really do want freedom from worry, Action step number one, we are going to do what God tells us in His Word to do. That's the first thing we're going to do, right? It sounds very simple, but I'm telling you, there is wisdom in here. Amen? But if we don't do what God tells us to do, we are going to be gripped with worry. We are. See, here's what I've learned about God. God never does anything, friend, and He never tells us to do anything in His Word that won't be good for us, that won't help us, and that won't defeat the schemes of the enemy. All right? I'm saying there's a good reason that God put that in His Word. There's a reason why He tells us to forgive our enemies and to be generous and to not worry. There's divine purpose behind these things. You know, when He says, don't hold a grudge and discipline your kids and keep His Word in your heart and coming out of your mouth, not only are those things wise and beneficial to us and true, but as we obey them, there's a shift that starts to take place where we stop relying on ourselves and our own efforts and we start actually trusting Him and the worries begin to fade. It's amazing how that happens, all because we actually believe and act on His Word. See, that's why James chapter 1 and verse 22 says, do not merely listen to this and so deceive yourself, but do what it says. Amen? You know, we don't just come to church and hear something great. We actually want to take the Word of God for ourselves and then do what it says. So if we're going to do what the Word says, we're going to have to get good at taking every anxious, fearful, worrying thought captive. That's what the Word of God tells us to do. We've got to take those thoughts captive. Now, why does God tell us to do that? Well, because He knows that when it comes to worry, friend, the battle is either won or lost between your ears. When it comes to worry, the battle is going to be won or lost this week, depending on what you think about. The mind, it's the battleground. That's why 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 says that we are to take every wrong thought captive. Now, the fact that God tells us to do that means we can do it. It's not too hard. It's not impossible. Oh, you don't understand, Pastor Andrew, all the things that... No. God says we can take those things captive. So if He tells us we can, we can. No excuses. Amen? All right. So God says we can do that. He never will tell you something in His Word to do that you are incapable of doing. Okay, that would be just... not a just God to do that. But secondly, the second reason that we want to take every wrong thought captive is because we live in a fear-saturated world. Have you noticed that? You know, this world is full of negative, worrying, anxious things, and those thoughts will come to you. I'm sorry to say that, but we really do have a spiritual enemy, and those kind of thoughts will come to you. See, we have fearful messages that are broadcast 24/7. You know that, right? There's not a whole lot of good news when you switch on at 6 o'clock. There's a lot of fearful messages come. So those messages are coming your way. We also have an enemy who will use lies and worrying thoughts and suggestions, and he will bring those things to your mind. The other reason that we're going to have to deal with these things is because the Bible says that our minds are carnal. They haven't yet been perfected. We're in the process of renewing them according to the Word of God, but I don't think anyone in this room is there yet. Amen? All right, so we're in a process. The Bible says our minds are being renewed. Every time we agree with this, our minds become a little bit more renewed and changed. Now, if we don't do that, what happens? Well, I tell you, living in this world, we're going to dwell on the negative. We're going to focus on the what if this happens and what if that happens. We will start expecting the worst. And if we do that and we choose to entertain those anxious, worrying, fearful thoughts, what's going to happen? Well, I'll tell you, pretty soon your emotions start to get involved. See, listen to me now. This is the process, right? So we start thinking worrying thoughts. then our emotions start to get involved in that. And then those negative, fearful, worrying thoughts start to impact us physically. Physically. So now we're stressed all the time. Now we're breathing into a paper bag because we're having panic attacks, right? We're not able to do something. We go into the corner and we're hyperventilating. Now we're thinking all kinds of irrational and ungodly thoughts. Some of you have been in that place. Some of you are in that place right now. So if you don't want to stay there, and I don't want that for anyone in this room, I know what that's like, and I didn't want to stay there either. What can we do about it? Well, first we've got to accept this truth. Worrying, fearful thoughts will come. While you live on this planet, fearful, worrying thoughts are going to come your way. They are not from God. They are not good. They are not in line with what He says about us in His Word. Those thoughts are going to come. But just because they come into your mind does not mean that you have to accept them, believe them, or receive them. Just because they come your way. Let me just pause for a moment. Have you ever thought something really, really, really inappropriate? Don't put up your hand at this point, right? Maybe you were sitting in church and this thought came to your mind and you're like, oh my goodness, that is just a terrible thought. How does that happen? Well, I've just explained that the enemy will seed things. He will be whispering things to you. He will be putting things, and those thoughts will come. But that doesn't mean we have to dwell on it, accept it, bring it into us. No, no, no. When they come, our job is to say, hold on. That's not what God says. That is not what He says about me. I'm not going to receive that. I'm going to take that worrying thought. I'm going to grab it. I'm going to wrestle it to the ground. I'm going to deal with it and toss it out. Amen? We've got to deal with it. We have to get good at taking these worrying thoughts captive. Okay, so we've done that. Now what do we do? This is so, so important. We've taken those worrying thoughts captive like the Bible says to do. Now we have to replace those fearful thoughts, those faithless thoughts, with some promises from the Word of God. We've got to replace them now with something good. See, I'm saying if you want to be free from worry, whenever your mind starts to run, let's say you've got a major assignment. You're a student, you've got a major assignment coming up. Or you've got a really important meeting this week at work. When your mind starts going, oh man, I'm going to mess that up. I just don't think I can do that. I'm going to fail. Everyone's going to think that I'm an idiot. Right there, you've got to stop yourself. And you've got to say, oh no, 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 no. That's not what God says. He says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? That's what He says. And right there, you take those worrying thoughts captive and you replace them with a promise from the Word of God, what He says about you. Well, that all sounds good, Pastor Andrew. That's good for you to say, but you don't know my situation. Well, that's true, I don't. You know, you don't know how long I've been struggling with worrying, depressive thoughts. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know my background. You don't know my situation. I've had that depression for so long, and I'm just not so sure that I could ever get over it. You see, my mum had depression, and her mum had depression, and I've just now got to struggle with it. No, friend, you don't have to struggle with it. You don't. You do not have to struggle with it. If you read this, you'll discover that the moment that Jesus Christ comes into your life, the Bible says you become a brand new creation. It says that the old things are passed away. That behold, everything has become new. You say, well, what about that generational curse? You know, that's been right down the line. Everyone in my family, they have suffered with worry and anxiety and fear and depression for years and years and years. Friend, listen to me today. That was paid for 2,000 years ago on a cross. We'll remember that in just a few weeks. That on the third day, when they went to the tomb, that tomb was empty. Because Jesus defeated sin and death for you so that you might be the righteousness of God. You see, so that thing that was back there, I'm here to tell you, on the cross, that curse was reversed. That means you don't have to live with it anymore, because the Bible says you have been made brand new. Amen? I know I'm messing with some of you this morning, but I want you to see, these aren't my words. This is what he says about you. This is what he says. See, the Bible says old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So step one, real simple. We're just going to do what God tells us to do. And the only way we're going to know what God tells us to do is by looking into this. If you haven't looked into this recently, I'd encourage you to get back in this. Amen? Okay, action step number two. We're going to hand over to him everything that we cannot do. Real simple. Now, many of you have cut Philippians 4 verse 6 out of your Bible, so I'm going to read it to you. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 says this. It says, do not be anxious about what? It says, do not be anxious about anything. So would anything include what you worried about last night? Yeah, it would, wouldn't it? Would anything include what you were wrestling with last week because this didn't work out and that didn't work? Would those things be included in the anything that you're not supposed to be anxious about? Come on, let's be honest today. Yeah, it would, right? It says, do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition, present your requests to God. What does that mean? Well, it means that we hand over to him all those things that we can't handle, that we don't have a clue how to solve. And what does the word promise if we will do that? And it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. You just can't even get your head around how there could be peace in the middle of your storm. But I'm telling you, friend, when the Prince of Peace is right there in your boat, it doesn't matter that the storm is going crazy. Because you've got the Prince of Peace there, right? The Bible says the Prince of Peace, the peace of God, which transcends our understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. How awesome is that? What a promise. God is saying, friend, that if you will do what he asks and you will give over to him those things that you can't do, he promises, listen to me now, he promises to exchange your worries for his peace. And he promises that he will set a guard around your heart and your mind so that anything that tries to unsettle you first has to go through Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, that ain't gonna happen. Nobody's getting past him. The Bible says he'll put a guard around your heart and around your mind. How are we going to defeat this stranglehold of worry? Number one, we're going to do what God tells us to do in his word. Number two, we're going to hand over to him everything that we can't do. You know, friends, it's been estimated that 92% of the things that we worry about are entirely beyond our control. Think about that. 92% of the things that you worried about last week are beyond your control to do anything about. And yet, those are the things that will give you stomach ulcers. Those are the things that will cause you to struggle with insomnia. You'll lose your joy worrying about those things. It'll bring fear into your life. 92% of the things we worry about are beyond our control. And so they are the things that we have to hand over to God. We can't do anything about it, but God, you can. See, listen to me now very carefully. When you worry, what you're really saying is this. God, I know what you say, but I'm just not convinced that you can handle this. And because I can't trust you to handle it, I'm going to try and handle it. That's what we're saying. But you know, the problem with that is when we say that, now we're responsible for finding a solution to this problem, right? You know, we've discounted the Almighty God and we've said, no, God, I can't trust you with it. I'm going to find a solution. Can you understand how worry just increases and increases and increases when we start acting like that? That only leads to more stress and more anxiety and more worry. And that's why the Bible says, exchange your anxieties for his peace. 1 Peter 5 verse 7. I love this in the Amplified Bible. Some of you just need to stick this up on your fridge at home, somewhere where you can see it. It says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on Him, for He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Oh, friend, that says that you can hand your worries over to God once and for all, and you can enjoy a worry-free life. Think about that. Let me give you some examples of what I mean when I say we got to hand to Him those worries, those things that we can't do anything about. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you some yes, no questions. And I want you to answer them out loud, okay? These are not trick questions. I know we're in church, but these aren't trick questions. Friends, can you heal someone of cancer? Can you do that? Yes or no? No, you can't. Can God heal someone of cancer? Yes, He can. And so that is something we are going to hand over to Him, okay? Well, we're not going to make things worse by endlessly worrying and getting afraid about those things. Why not? Well, because we know that worrying about that is not going to help us one little bit, right? So instead, whether the diagnosis was coming to us or someone we love, we are going to hand that over to God. We're going to trust Him with it. But once we've done that, there are some things that we can do. Amen? Now, if the diagnosis was coming our way, we can go to the doctor, can't we? We can confess healing scriptures over our body. We can do that, right? We know there's power in our words. We can have people, faith-filled people from church, pray in agreement over us that we would receive the good report that the Word of God says. Amen? We can do those things. We can rebuke the enemy in Jesus' name. We can do all those things. But there's no point lying awake at night worrying and worrying and worrying about something that only God can change. So we're going to hand that over to Him. Parents, give me a wave. If you're a parent in here, let me see your hand. Parents, a lot of you. Parents, can you protect your children from all harm? Can you? Yes or no? Can you do that? No, you can't do that. But can God assign angels to protect your children from all harm? What? Even when you're at work, can He do that? Even when you're busy and your back is turned, can He do that? Even when situation is going on over here that requires all of your attention, can God protect your children? Can He do that? Yes, He can. So we're going to hand that over to Him. And we're not going to worry about it. We're going to stop worrying about that. Married people, can I see your hand? You're a married person. Now, this is not a trick question, but how many of you married people can change your spouse? Can you, married person, change your spouse? I know some of you tried, but can you? I'm telling you, 24 years, can you change your spouse? No, you can't. No, you can't. You might think you can, but you can't, right? You thought you did, but then something happened. You went, man, I didn't change them after all. No, you can't change your spouse. But can God change your spouse? And can God change you? Yes, He can. So we're going to hand that over to Him. Friend, can your worrying about stuff this week change anything at all? Can it? No. Well, can God change anything He wants to? Yes, He can. So what are we going to do? Well, we're going to do what God tells us to do in here. We're going to hand over to Him all those things that we can't do. And then step three, we're going to decide today that regardless of what things look like or what they feel like or what anybody else says, man, we are going to trust God completely. Amen? That's what we're going to do. We're just going to be people who trust God completely. Mitch, you can come and play for me wherever he is. He'll appear in just a moment. Give Mitch a hand. He's a good young man. Jesus put it like this. You heard it before already in this service, Matthew 6:33. He said, but seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these other things, you know, these other things that you've been lying awake worrying about, this thing that you need right now, this concern that you have, this lack in your life. He says, listen, seek first the kingdom of God and his right way of living. And all these other things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough worries of its own. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Just don't even worry about it. Why not? Because, friend, I'm telling you today, when you trust him completely, you realize something. The truth is, God already knows what's coming tomorrow. You don't know, but God knows. God knows what's coming tomorrow. The future is not going to take him by surprise. Everything that you need to make it through tomorrow and the next day and the day after that, the Bible says, is already yours in Christ Jesus. All that you need. So how do you break the stronghold of worry? Friend, you make a decision today before we leave this building. Man, I just got to start obeying what God says in his word. No ifs or buts. No questioning. I'm just going to take God at his word. And if he asks me to do it, I'm just going to decide today that I'm going to do it. And then when I come up against things this week and I don't know what to do, well, the Bible says ask for wisdom and he'll give it to you liberally. So I'll do that. But then I'll hand over to him all those things that I just don't have an answer for. I just don't know what to do. I'm going to hand to him what I cannot do. And no matter what, I'm going to choose to trust him. Because he knows the future. I'm in the palm of his hand. Nothing will allow the enemy to get through Jesus to get to me when I'm protected in him. If I keep that door closed to the schemes of the enemy and trust him completely, there is no way that anything can get through that and take that perfect peace that he's promised to grant me as a guard around my heart and around my mind. Friend, I'm telling you today, you can live free from worry. You can live free from anxiety and fear. If you would just do what the Word of God showed us this morning, if you would take that word to heart, I am telling you, your life will be completely changed. I'm going to ask every person, just put down your Bibles, put down your notes, because we want to pray for just a moment and seal this word. We want to ask Holy Spirit to do some wonderful, powerful, sealing work in our hearts this morning. You know, as I was getting up to preach today, I just got a very strong sense that some of you in this room have been so worried about your children, particularly. That's just a key one. You're worried about your kids. You're worried about their future. You're worried about their safety. You're worried about what's going on for them right now. You're worried about them. Others of you in this room are worried about your finances. You're worried about your future. You've been lying awake at night playing that what if game. And that's why some of you in this room today are a little tired this morning, because you've been experiencing sleepless nights, anxiety attacks, stomach ulcers, migraines, racing heartbeat, all because you're worrying about things that you have not been designed by God to carry. Friend, I came all this way to tell you today that he wants to be your burden bearer. He's got big shoulders. He says that his burden is light and easy, and he can take on board all of those things that are churning you up inside. He wants to exchange your worries for his peace. And so right now, Father, we thank you in this time and this place that you're present, moving in the hearts of your people this morning. You've spoken to us through your word today, and we receive it by faith. God, we don't understand how applying those steps is going to change everything, but we believe you at your word. You never lied to us. You've never come up short in the past. And so we accept your word today. We're going to believe it as faith-filled people so that we can go out into this week and into our future free from worry, anxiety, and fear. I just break that off of anyone this morning in the name of Jesus. Enemy, we rebuke you. You have no place no place in a believer's life. We are washed in the blood of Jesus. We are protected by Him. And we claim that this morning. We choose to be a people of faith. We choose to reject the lies of the enemy and stand on Your truth. And Father, I pray this morning for every person who's really struggled in this area, that this week they would experience such victory like they've never known before. You grant Your beloved good sleep, and I declare good sleep, good rest over Your people. I declare wisdom over them to be able to answer difficult problems at work tomorrow. Not that they would lie awake worrying about them, but they would trust that You would give them the words when they need them. Father, I pray that in this coming season, we would see a boldness and a confidence rise up in Aspire Church like we've never seen before. Boldness to witness, a boldness to pray for the sick, a boldness to declare Your goodness in season, out of season. Bold people, not worried people. Father, I just pray that You'd seal that word over our hearts and our minds this morning, that we take it to heart, that we would realize that we were here this morning, not by accident, but by divine appointment to get that word and to get it in our heart. It's going to help us for the remainder of this year in a massive way. I just pray that we'd receive it by faith this morning. But I recognize in this environment that maybe you're sitting here and you say, well, that's all great, Andrew, but I'm just not sure that I know God in the personal way that you're talking about. I don't know that I've ever had that kind of connection with Him where I know that I know that I know that He's my burden bearer. That He's the one that promises to be with me and never forsake me. I'm just not sure if I'm in that kind of relationship with Him. Friend, I'm telling you, you will never defeat worry, anxiety, and fear on your own. You'll never do it. You need Him in your life. You need Him to be vital and real. The Bible says if we would believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, our whole destiny, our whole eternity would be changed like that. You don't need to understand it all. When I came to faith as a 16-year-old boy, I didn't understand how a man dying on a cross 2,000 years ago could make me right with God. I just believed it by faith. And I'm telling you, the direction of my life changed on that day, and it can change for you today. So right here in this moment, if you say, Andrew, I want to be free from fear. I want to be free from anxiety. I want to be free from worry. And I want to know that I have supernatural help, God on the inside. He'll be with me forever. If you just want to seal that decision in your heart, maybe you made that decision a long time ago or you've never made it. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to count to three. And when I reach three, I just want you to lift up your hand. No one's looking around. This is just you, me, and God. And you say, yeah, that's me. Just lift up your hand real high. I'll see it. And then in just a moment, we're all going to pray a prayer together and we're going to seal this decision. If you want to be sure this morning or you've never made this decision, I'm telling you, friend, this is the best decision you could ever make. Are you ready? Come on, let's make a bold decision today. One, two, three. I want you to lift your hand up high so I can see it. And when I see you, you can put it down. God bless you. That's awesome. God bless you over here. Somebody else saying, yeah, I want that. Yeah, right up the back. I see you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Yeah. Man, God bless you. Yes, ma'am. I see your hand over here. Yes. Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else? Yeah, over here. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anybody else? Come on. This is a time just between us and God. We just want to know that we know. Anybody else, just before we pray? All right, everybody, together, we're going to pray this with our eyes closed. This is a declaration. If you've never prayed this before, this is your first declaration. For those of you who prayed it before, come on, let's seal this in our hearts. Say, dear Jesus, today I'm ready to say yes to You, to say yes to Your forgiveness, yes to Your love, and yes to Your offer of a brand new start. I believe that Jesus died for me so that I could live for Him. So today, God, come into my life and change me for eternity. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Come on, why don't you give Him a clap? He's a good, good, good God. Thanks, Pastor Graham.
Thank you, Pastor Andrew. Was that a good word? I trust that you've taken notes. We obviously record the messages every week, and that will be available on the website, so you can access that. And do re-listen to that and think about the key principles that are contained there. Because it's... trying to be straight here. Many times, and in fact, I think today I'm going to just make a decision on this. Many times people want to come forward, please pray for me, Pastor. And that's awesome. But if you're not doing what the Bible teaches you to do, you are undermining the very thing that God has given you to have the breakthrough and the freedom that you have for your life. Is that true? So can I encourage you, take the word that has been spoken today and apply it. Do what the word says. Don't just hear what the word says. Then you'll be a wise person, as Jesus taught us. This morning, we have an opportunity to be able to sow into the ministry of Pastor Andrew and Megan, Freedom Revolution Ministry. Who reckons that was a great word today? And it says, we who have been blessed by the word of God should respond by being a blessing, even giving double honour, where the word has just been spoken, that's just powerful and transforming. And as we sow, that continues to release them and the ongoing work they do, both in Cambodia, in other parts of the world. And I think let's just be generous today. Let's just sow with a real spirit of generosity into the ministry that they serve in. So the ushers will just start to do that now. And secondly, if you've put your hand up today, particularly if you've made a decision, a commitment to be following Jesus and to be trusting your life into His hands, or if you've revisited that decision after some period of time and you realized I needed to come back to God and to reestablish my walk with Him, can I encourage you to come and speak to one of the pastors or leaders after the service this morning? Don't just go home and say, well, look, that was nice. I prayed a prayer. We need encouragement. We need support. We need people to stand with us in that journey. Can you please come down the front, or maybe even speak to Amarelle, one of the ushers, and just let them know that you've made that decision, that you put up your hand, and we want to partner with you so that you can live your life successfully as God has planned that to be the case for you. So God bless you. I'm going to hand back to the team.